You want to turn over to Romans chapter 15 with me? A couple more weeks and we'll be done with the book of Romans. I don't even know when I started it. It's been a little while. But it's been a good study for me. Hopefully it's been a good study for you too. So, Romans chapter 15, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul says, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of these things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, he found himself rejoicing. He said, I rejoice, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. You know, when he came into a city, he usually found it in the grips of Roman authority. He would find the people in widespread despair, empty and longing for something they could not find, fallen into terrible degrading habits that were destroying homes. He would find them in the grips of superstitious fears. No church existed where he went, but after he had been there a while and had begun to preach these tremendous themes, light began to spring up in the darkness. People were changed. They began to live for the first time. They discovered why they were made. The excitement appeared in their lives. So Paul was rejoicing time and time again. He was rejoicing over what was happening. You can see it in verse 18. He says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. You know, this is one of the greatest secrets God had to teach man. Man was designed not to do something to make God happy, but to let God work through man. God would do the work. That's what Paul said. Christ has accomplished all this through me. You know, we see on television, we see brochures, flyers, different things like that, people bragging about what they do for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not about what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus Christ does through us. I couldn't be up here if it wasn't for him. The Apostle Paul couldn't be here speaking if it wasn't for him. You know, I think the Apostle Paul started out with a great amount of zeal, had a great desire to turn the world upside down. He thought he had all the equipment and the gifts to do it. I think a lot of us believe we can do it on our own. But I think eventually the Apostle Paul, as well as us, have learned that we can't do it on our own. All God wants is the man himself. He wants to be able to work through you. And I think when Paul learned that secret, he launched upon this great ministry that changed the history of the world. You know, when you meet a man or a woman that's willing to trust God to work through them, there's no limit to what God can do. You can see this in the life of Paul's ministry. Look at verse 19. He goes on, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through signs and miracles. You know, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that wherever he went, he was performing signs and miracles. And they're done away with today because we have the whole written Word of God. The Word of God is available to us. And what we have is what Paul mentions, the power of the Holy Spirit and how it impacts us on our human lives. Paul had just been telling the Romans in the 19th verse here, all the way from Jerusalem, all the way around to Illyricum, terrible city. He has fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. He traveled. His desire was to preach the gospel. You know, he had been the one taking the lead in the Jewish attempt to destroy Christianity. His conversion to confessing that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah and the Son of the living God was the most extraordinary change of anyone. He was the last one that anyone expected to be changed. It even says it in Galatians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. You know, we may have expected Paul to have gone to Jerusalem, be united, and that soon be united recognition of his godliness, theological brilliance, eloquence, and zeal. He had been speedily appointed by the church as its leader, but that's not what happened. You know, a disciple named James became the pastor preacher in Jerusalem, whereas Paul went away from Jerusalem. He went through Arabia, went through Damascus, back to Jerusalem, but then all the way to Illyricum, to the Gentile mission for 14 years. And as I was thinking of his missionary journeys, and he went on many, can you see him walking over 1,000 miles from his home country, sleeping under the stars, washing himself and his clothes in a freezing stream, buying some food in a village and cooking it on a little fire, speaking of his Savior wherever he could? The Apostle Paul's whole desire was to preach the gospel and the gospel by itself. The Apostle Paul was constantly on the move, constantly preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we wake up in the morning and it's raining outside on a Sunday morning, we say, it's a bad day to go to church. If we have to drive 20 minutes to church, we say, it's a bad day to go to church. The Apostle Paul went through, he traveled thousands and thousands of miles. And he doesn't have the capabilities that we have today, cars and planes and buses. Probably did it on foot. There was a video, I think Valerie actually posted it on Facebook, of a guy that preached over in China. People rode trains to get to this guy, and they sat from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. And they said, oh man, we wish we could be more like you over in America. They listened to this preacher for 10 hours, wouldn't move, just to eat it all up, because in China they don't have the freedom that we have. And they said, oh, I wish we could be more like you. And the preacher, he's an American preacher, and he said, no, I wish we were more like you. He said, you guys rode trains, buses to get here. You're hiding yourself. It was all in a hotel room with 10 or 12 people so they could go back and take it to their people. But here, if it's difficult for us, we say it's not worth it. We have multiple Bibles on the shelves and we don't read them. But the Apostle Paul had a desire, had a burden. And no matter what he went through, I'm sure he got discouraged, but he never quit. He kept fighting. He kept pushing forth. You can see in verse 20, he says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. You know, Paul had ambition. It's always been his ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. How many of us love to be the first to tell some news? We'll get some juicy news and we want to run and go tell it. That's the Apostle Paul. He didn't care to go tell it to the people that already knew about it. He wanted to go tell the ones that didn't have a foundation. For the Apostle Paul, life consisted of Jesus Christ and of telling people about him, especially those who had never heard. No matter where he was teaching Jesus Christ. He was teaching the gospel of Christ. He was teaching God so loved the world. He was teaching that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they could have salvation. He taught that Jesus Christ died as our substitute on the cross of Golgotha. God raised him from the dead. You know, one of the best things that can happen to us as a Christian is that we become controlled by a holy ambition. We need to have a desire. We need to have an ambition. We need to have something that we want to do for the Lord. One of the worst things for a non-Christian is to have nothing to live for. To be constantly asking the question, is there more to life? Is this all there is? Surely there's something more. You can see that the Apostle Paul had a desire. He had a holy ambition. You can think of it this way. Holy ambition means something that you really long to do in life that God wants you to do. There's so many different examples of this. The Apostle Paul had a holy ambition. He always wanted to go to Rome, but he could never get there till later on. It's something you want to do so much that doing it keeps you from doing other things that you also enjoy doing. The Apostle Paul wanted to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in places where people have never heard of it. Is there somebody in your life that has never heard of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your desire? What is your holy ambition? What is your feeling? Somebody that's never heard of the Sermon on the Mount. Somebody that never heard the parable of the prodigal son. Somebody that never heard that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We don't know how much time we have here on this earth. But I think through the Apostle Paul's life, we can see his desire, his burden, what he wanted to do. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us has that same holy ambition, same desire, same burden. Do you have a holy ambition? What is it you're supposed to be? What is it you're supposed to do for the Lord? What are you being called to do today? You know, one of the differences between being a child and growing up is that growing up as a Christian means you get a holy ambition. Many times we try to instill that in our kid. Every Christian should have a holy ambition. Think of a little girl. She wants to have toys and play with dolls. But there's going to be a day that comes when she'll put all that aside. She's grown up. Toys are no more fun. She's become mature. Maybe one day she'll run an orphanage. Maybe one day she'll adopt a child. Maybe one day, what is that holy ambition for that person? Each and every one of us has our own unique calling. Not all of us are called to be preachers. But each and every one of us has our own unique thing about our life. When I was a kid, I liked to play with swords and guns and different games and books and different things. Loved to play football. But as you grow up, you become mature. You got to say, I'm done with that now. I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to become mature. What is the Lord calling me to do? We need to find that holy ambition for each and every one of us. What can we do for the glory of the Lord? What can we do that the Lord is calling us to do? What gives eternal focus and passion to your life? You know, Paul had one of these Christ-honoring ambitions. Where did the ambition come from? Did he get it in a dream? Was it just a feeling he had? Did an old lady in the church in Damascus say to him, hey, young man, you ought to become a preacher or a missionary? You know, you might expect that right here in our text, Paul would remind the Romans about his Damascus Road encounter. You know, I was blinded. I saw the light. I woke up. But that's not what he says at all. He actually takes him back to Isaiah 52:15. And he says, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. The Apostle Paul had a desire for the lost. The Apostle Paul had a desire for those that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm sure the experience was amazing for him. But when he realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he said, I have to tell the world. I'm sure none of us here have been blinded and then healed from that. But we've had an experience. We've had a change. We know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that Jesus Christ went to the cross. We know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So I pray that each and every one of us has a burden for the lost, for those that have never heard, for those that will see. Do we take the opportunity to share the gospel the way the Apostle Paul did? You know, where does your holy ambitions come from? They're going to probably come from a personal encounter with the living Christ. Like I said, it's probably not as dramatic as what the Apostle Paul went through. But I can say multiple times in my life that I've seen Jesus Christ at work. Each and every one of us can say in our life that we've seen Jesus Christ at work. Doesn't mean it's a miracle. Doesn't mean, I'm sure some of us have seen miracles. But throughout our life, we can see Jesus Christ work. You know, once we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, once he's our Savior, then that knowledge of Christ has to be constantly shaped and informed and empowered by the written Word of God. God speaks through the Bible. Understand these things. Believe these truths. Obey these commandments. Live like this. Be this sort of mother. Be this sort of father. Be this sort of church member. Each week, God comes and takes some of the truth you need and he applies them to your hearts. It's your choice whether you listen. It's your choice whether you hear him. It's your choice whether you allow him to convict you. So in verse 20, he goes on, he says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thither to you word by you, if first I be somewhat filled by your company. The Apostle Paul tells him, now I'm going to Spain. Spain was wholly unreached at this point. Paul was going there by himself, just him and no one else. He says, I hope to visit you while passing through. Hope you can assist me on my journey there. Even though he got turned down time and time again to go to Rome, he still had that desire. He still had that ambition. We don't know our timing. We don't understand the timing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if it's a desire that agrees with the Word of God, it'll come true. It'll eventually happen. You know, many people say there's three choices in worldwide mission. You can be a goer, you can be a sender, or you can be disobedient. The Bible doesn't assume that everyone's got to go. Not everyone's going to be a preacher. Not everyone's going to be a missionary, which means leave here and go. But it does assume that the ones who don't go care about the goers, support the goers, pray for the goers, hold the ropes for the goers. And the Apostle Paul had people that supported him, that encouraged him, that lifted him up. And we'll dig into it a lot more, but he also asked for prayer at the end of chapter 15 here. If you look down at verse 30, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered for them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with the joy of the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Even Paul asked for prayer. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for each other. You know, prayer is just admitting that God is sovereign. When we pray, we admit that the matter before us is in God's hands alone. We can't change it. It's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our giving it to Him. Our entire future is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Prayer is a joyful surrender to God's sovereign purposes. We are acknowledging that God has the right and power to do whatever seems good to Him. We are saying that regardless of what God does about going to Jerusalem or Spain or wherever, we will believe that He is working everything together for our good. Even though He kept wanting to go to Rome for these 14 years, He said, "I leave it in the hands of God. God's sovereign will put me where I need to be, when I need to be, how I need to be, what I need to be." Prayer is an earnest pleading with God for grace to glorify Him regardless of what He does. I think prayer basically says, "Father, give me grace to trust You. If You send me to Jerusalem, if You send me to Spain, everything else, help me to behave like Your dear child. Help me to behave like You want me to behave." The Apostle Paul asked for prayer from these people. I think he knew he'd be back. I think he knew he would get to him eventually, because the Holy Spirit led him to write what he wrote. You know, just in closing, do we glory in the service of Jesus Christ? Do we not take the glory ourselves? But as Paul learned, it is only through Jesus Christ that we have anything to glory of. Do we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us? Do we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work through us? And do we bring that glory back to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have a holy ambition? What is it that we want to do for the Lord? What is our desire? Not in life, not in being successful, not in having money, not in materialistic things. What is it in the end that we can say, "Hey, I made a change for eternity"? What is it that we can say, "Hey, I shared the gospel with so-and-so. They have a chance of having an eternal life"? And do we pray for the ministries? Do we pray for each other? The Apostle Paul constantly asked for prayer. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time. I just thank You that through the power of the Holy Spirit, You work through me. The only glory here is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing I do. There's nothing that I have no talents here whatsoever, Lord, besides what You give me. I just thank You. And I pray for the ministry here. I pray for Grace Bible Church. I pray for those that are in the congregation. I just pray that we'll find a desire and that we'll find an ambition to lead others to a saving knowledge of Your Son. The Apostle Paul said he was looking for those that didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, that didn't have a foundation. Instead of us going after ones that are already in church or have a church, or how about we witness to those that have never been to church, that don't know anything about church, that don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can lead and we can disciple and that we can grow together, Lord. We just pray that each and every one of us will have one person that we run into this week that we get the opportunity to say, hey, have you ever heard of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross of Calvary? We pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.